I'm going to show you a few highlights in this chapter that deal with the theme this morning, the precious words of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. We won't read the whole chapter. I'm just going to show you a few verses in this. Verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." See, the word of the Lord just keeps going to keep showing up in this chapter. Verse 18. "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." Verse 21. "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So you got 2, 3, 4 times the word of the Lord shows up in this chapter, and that's the theme. And just to put it real bluntly, Samuel's relationship to God's words would be the reason God's going to promote Samuel and deal with Samuel the way he does and use Samuel the way he does. There's a verse, you don't have to go back to it, in Joshua. The Lord tells Joshua that great success comes from adhering to and listening to the words of God and doing the words of God. And so we're going to talk about that, the precious word of the Lord, and show you how it applied in Samuel's life, how it applies in your life. And there are some things that really we need to get out of this chapter, but let's pray real quick one more time and deal with these verses. Father, thank you so much for these words. I pray you'd help us, pray you'd give us insight, pray you'd give us application and a greater love for your words and desire to know your words. There's so much information out there, so many other voices, like we say, so much talk out there, and Lord, we got to figure out whether it's true, whether it's not true, and what we want to believe, what we don't want to believe. But I'm thankful that I can open up your words, your Bible, and believe what I'm reading, and it's the truth. And thank you for giving us your words. I pray you'd help us appreciate them more. I pray you'd help us apply them more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 3. You saw the four verses where the words of the Lord show up. And it's all dealing with Samuel's relationship. He's just a boy here at this point in time. He's still, I don't know, maybe 12 years old, 10 years old, something like that. And the story is from 1 Samuel 1 and 2, and what's gone on. The priesthood under Eli is current. It's a corrupt priesthood, and we dealt with that pretty thoroughly last few weeks. It's just a corrupt priesthood, and the Lord is essentially done with Eli's family. He's just done with Eli's family, and he's going to move on. And now that Samuel is a faithful young boy, young man, that is faithful to the words of God, the Lord's going to promote him and establish him and use him as a preacher and as a prophet in the nation. And he'll be a highlight in the nation of Israel for 20 years. And just a couple historical notes about Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was the most important object in Israel's history. That was where God would meet with the high priest. And Eli and his family had not done a good job taking care and sanctifying, and they profaned all the things that were sacred to God and all the things that should have been sacred to Israel and Israel's history. And so you'll see the Ark of the Covenant is going to show up and be a big issue in the next few chapters, but we're not there yet. In this chapter, the Lord's going to call Samuel, and all of these things that are going to happen in Samuel's life revolve around the words of God. But let's get a few principles, a few things that we can work with and learn from these verses. Let me read you the first few verses of this chapter. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was," that's what we just mentioned, the ark of the covenant there, "and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." We'll stop there. The first few verses deal with this. In verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There's no open vision." So everything, all the information the people are going to get about God comes from the words of God. I understand there's not a Bible at that point in time, but it's going to come. The Bible is the word of God, but they got the law. They got Moses' law. They got the Ark of the Covenant, where the high priest is going to meet with the Lord. And so the word of God is absolutely necessary. Now here's the principle, here's the application. I heard this question asked years ago, and it's something you ought to think about if you haven't ever thought about it. But is it necessary for God to reveal himself? Is it necessary for God to reveal himself? I think the answer to that question is yes, it is. I'll give you a couple of examples of that. There was a time when Peter, the Lord said, asked Peter, he says, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, some say John the Baptist and all that stuff. And the Lord says, well, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. Anybody remember what Jesus Christ said in response to that? He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Meaning you wouldn't know this unless God told you this. Meaning revelation is absolutely necessary. Here's a couple thoughts that are pertinent to us. Is it necessary for God to reveal himself to man? Since this whole chapter is about God's revelation and the darkening darkening of a nation and the way the lights are going out in a nation. You and I need God to tell us what he likes. Otherwise, we'll think he just likes the same things we like. We are just, as human beings, naturally, we believe that our decisions are good decisions. They are generally God's on our side. And, you know, when we live our lives, God just kind of goes along with us. Now, if you read the Bible, if you get God's revelation, you'll actually know what direction God's moving, whose side God, if you could say God is on a side. I mean, he is his own side. You're either on his side or not. But you'll get revelation and you'll understand, you know what, my thoughts and my activities and my life and the things I believe and my attitudes towards things and people and things like that, they're not correct. Though I'll justify them, though I'll defend my thoughts and my attitudes, I need God to tell me what he actually likes, what his perspective on things are. You would never get the perspective that to be successful with God, you have to deny yourself. Otherwise, if you just live in this world, you would think, get all you can, do as best you can. I mean, that's good, do the best you can, all that stuff. But you would never think in your own mind, hey, I need to deny myself. I have thoughts and feelings that are contrary to righteousness. I have thoughts and feelings that aren't right. And my attitude towards people sometimes is not right. My behavior is not correct. And so I need revelation from God to say, look, the Lord would say, I don't approve of this. I don't approve of this, but I do approve of this. I like this. This is good. Things like that. You need God to tell you what he likes, because otherwise I think God likes it and God's okay with it if I don't know what God thinks. Another thing is I need God to tell me what he means. I'll give you an example of that. The word love is just thrown around everywhere. Love, love, gotta love, gotta love, gotta love, gotta love. And it really, when God says, for instance, husbands, love your wives, if you don't know what he means, you'll just think he means whatever the world means by love. So I need God to tell me when he says, for instance, husbands, love your wives, or he says, love each other, I need the Lord to tell me what that means. That way I don't have just an imagination of applying my own imagination to what he's saying, and I need to understand what he means by love. That's just an example. I need God to tell me what he's doing. Otherwise, I don't know what he's doing. I need God to tell me who I am. You know what the Bible says and the Lord says in the words of God in the book of James? He says, this book is like a mirror. You have a perception of yourself. It's not God's perception of you. You get God's perception of you through this book. You get God's perception of your life and who you are and what you are through listening to what God said about you. Same thing with me. You need God to tell, I need God to tell me who he is. We use the example of Peter and Jesus Christ. So here's the idea. The Bible says, David said it in Psalms, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the thing that gives me direction and gives me revelation and it gives me understanding of my surroundings and gives me understanding of who I am, gives me understanding of who he is, gives me understanding of where I need to go and where I don't need to go. The point is, the words of God are so important. There's no other way, and you need to please listen and please get this. You don't have any other connection to God's direct, revealed will apart from the words of God. We wander around in our own minds with our own feelings and our own emotions and things like that, and we apply them to our decisions and our lives, and we justify our lifestyles, our things, our ways of conducting ourselves. But apart from the words of God, if I don't have the words of God, I don't know light. I don't know direction. I mean, you can see it, and it's such a unfortunately easy example these days, but a nation that has rejected God goes down into darkness. Our nation is that. We are in darkness. We have there's maybe some spots of light, but we're in darkness. People are in darkness. People need hope. They need direction. They need help. Don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Okay, we vote. And then put some people in office, and then in 4 years, that changes. And I mean, all this stuff is going to change. It'll be different. This isn't the end all. The elections aren't the end all. The point is, a nation without God goes into darkness. That's Israel's position. They are without the words of God, and therefore the testimony is, ere the lamp of God went out, just right before it goes out, right before the nation gets dark, here's little Samuel, and he's just trying to serve God, and he's doing right, and he counts the word of God as precious. And the Lord can use that, he's going to use that. But the first question is asked and answered in verse 1. Is revelation from God necessary? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely necessary for multiple reasons, some of which we've talked about. But that's why it's so important in verse 1. He says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There's no open vision. Nobody can see what's happening. And the high priest, Eli, is just a physical manifestation of the nation. His health is bad. He's blind. He can't see what's going on, just like the nation. There's no light there. The darkness is setting in. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So here's what the Bible says, verse 2. It came to pass at that time, Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered him, here am I. Here's the situation in the tabernacle there. You got the ark of God, you got a tabernacle in Shiloh, and the priest is responsible for what's going on in that tabernacle. And it looks like Samuel is with Eli in the tabernacle somewhere, and he lives there. He lives at the tabernacle. And Eli may have some room somewhere around the tabernacle, but remember, the ark is where God would meet with the high priest. And it looks like Eli isn't having any meetings with God anymore. He's just living out the rest of his life. Or I should say, just dying the rest of his life. There's no life there. And little Samuel, he gets a call from God. The Lord calls him, and he thinks it's Eli. And he does this three times. And Eli finally realizes, you know what, that's probably the Lord calling Samuel. So he tells Samuel, go in there where the ark is, it sounds like. Go in there where the ark is, and when the Lord talks to you again, say, here am I. Just speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We'll deal with that in a minute. But the second thing is in verse 7, after you understand revelation from God is absolutely necessary, you got to have revelation from God. Second thing is, God's word is the basis for fellowship. Look what he says in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Your connection to God is not physical. Meaning you can't hold God in your hand, you can't taste, and you can't physically hear or physically see a manifestation of God. Your connection and my connection to God Almighty is in His words. This is where it is. This is where it is. If we don't believe, we don't have His words, if we're not going to listen to His words, this is our connection. This is Samuel's connection. And it says, now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He has a relationship, or he's going to have a relationship with God based on His words, just like if you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to have a relationship with God based on what He said, based on what you hear of what He said and your response to it. Here's what Paul said. Paul says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. And that's your connection. If you have any relationship with the Lord, that's the connection. Jesus Christ said it this way. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know what the connection is? The Word of God. That's it. That's where the fellowship is. You say, well, that's, you know, it's a lot of emphasis to put on the Bible. Well, yeah, it is a lot of emphasis to put on the Bible. And it would be better if our culture and our lives put more emphasis on the Bible, made it more important. That's the idea here. Samuel makes it very important in his life. I give you one thing to deal with here, just to think about. We don't talk about this every Sunday or hammer on it every Sunday, but there's a reason we believe this Bible, King James Bible. Now, I'll give you an example. I don't know what you have in your lap, but I would ask you, look at this verse. Look in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Look at Acts 8:37. I'm not going to call anyone to read it or anything like that. But I just want to know one thing. One thing. Yeah. Is it in your Bible? Because if it's not in your Bible, it's not your evil or whatever you want to say. It's not your bad person or anything like that. Everyone learns these things. But your adversary and enemy, the devil, understands how important the words of God are. And he's willing to take a book and present it to you as a Bible with the title Bible on it, and then change some things in it and take out some things. And so I use this example, and I'm not going to harp on this too much. I'm just going to put it out there for you. If you hold in your lap something called a Bible, and it does not have that verse I told you to look at, there's others we could look at, but it doesn't have Acts 8:37 in it, just know it doesn't have other verses in it. Your enemy knows how important these words are, and he is very, very sneaky. And one of the reasons I'd say that people have lost, I don't know if they've lost, I mean, people have really never been that interested in the Bible or the words of God anyway, but one of the things that's happened over the years is there's been a shift, there's been a decline, just like in Israel, the lights have gone out, and all of that has happened because of a people's relationship to the words of God. That's where it happened. That's where it happened in Israel. And so I encourage you, I warn you, I throw it out there for you just to take note of. God's word is the basis of your fellowship with God. And if your basis for fellowship with God is based on something that isn't God's word or has corrupted God's word, then just something to consider. It's something a lot of folks have already had to deal with and think about, but just something to think about. God's word is the basis for fellowship. Just like it says in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The basis for fellowship wasn't there. Samuel's just doing what he knows he's supposed to do. He's serving in the tabernacle, serving under Eli. What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How do I need to perform this? And Eli is just taking him through these steps and all that stuff. And now Eli is old, and he's in terrible health. He's practically blind. And right before those lights go out, Samuel gets called by the Lord to be a light. And the basis of Samuel's entire relationship and then the entire influence on the nation was Samuel's relationship with the words of God. He didn't see God physically appear. He couldn't smell. He couldn't taste. He couldn't put his hands on God. You know what? He just listens to the word of God. And that's the basis for Samuel's influence and leadership in a nation. Second point is simply this. God's word is the basis for fellowship. God's word is the basis for fellowship. Jesus Christ said it, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Paul said it, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the basis. Third thing is this. After Samuel gets called, he gets called three times. After two times, Eli realizes what's happening, and he tells Samuel, go in there, and looks like it says, sleep by the ark and listen, and whenever the Lord speaks again, just tell him, speak for thy servant heareth. And the third time the Lord calls, and Samuel says in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, verse 11, the first message Samuel gets is not a good message. The first thing Samuel's told by the Lord through the words of God is, "Samuel, Eli and his family, I'm done with them. I'm done with them, and I'm going to raise me up a priest that's going to perform my word." Look in verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, and the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Wow. That is, if you can imagine, here's Samuel, just 10 or 12 years old, and he's given this message by God that says, the man that's been training you in all this, Eli, and his sons, this environment you've been raised up in, he says, the Lord says, I'm done with Eli, I'm done with his family, because he won't control his children. I'm done with them. And he's made my house a wreck. And so, because of this, there is nothing he can do. He can't offer a sacrifice. He can't make this thing right because he has made it so wrong now. And if you can imagine being Samuel, and you get this message from God, and you're the one in the holy place there, you're alone with the Lord. And by the way, you know, there's going to be some times, hopefully you've had some times where you got alone with God. You're going to have to get alone with God. Your judgment is going to be individual. It isn't going to be group judgment. We all get in and we all get out and we all make it in and we all make it out, and whatever the idea is. Your judgment's individual. Your personal relationship with God is individual. The first message Samuel gets, it's negative. The fear of the Lord. I think of this when I read this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Samuel's been obeying these instructions in the tabernacle, and now God is going to give him some information for some upcoming events, some prophecy. And notice a couple things about Samuel. When he was called, just kids can notice this. I know we've got children's church and all that stuff, but moms and dads, you can contribute to this. When Samuel was called, he responded. And because he responded, the Lord was able to talk to him. When he was called, he responded. The Lord says, "Samuel," and he gets up and he goes to Eli, "Hey, what do you need? What are you calling me for?" And Eli says, "Not me. Go back to bed." Second time, Samuel. Samuel goes to Eli. Eli says, it's not me. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed." But probably the Lord. So next time you hear that voice, just say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." So the Lord calls him again. Samuel responds. And that's notable. Samuel responds when he's called. Kids would do well to listen to that. But I think parents more so than kids. Because you have the responsibility of making sure the kids respond. Adults do well to pay attention to that. But Samuel's all about taking care of the Lord's business, and he gets this message of judgment dropped on him. Now watch what happens. First message is negative. You know, before I go on, probably the first thing you ever heard from God was negative. I imagine the first thing you ever heard from God was negative. If you've ever heard from the Lord. Generally, the first thing you hear from the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that's where it starts, is something about sin. The first thing you hear from God is something about sin and something about dealing with sin. Because there is no, as we've talked about last Sunday evening, You and I can't even approach God unless there's a sacrifice involved. We don't have a hearing with God. There's no way. Our iniquities, the Bible says, your iniquities have separated between you and God. That's our position. The first thing you're going to hear from the Lord, just like first thing Samuel hears, it's a negative message. And I try to put myself and think about Samuel in his position, 10 years old, 12 years old, and he just has this bomb dropped on him. And then Eli gets up in the morning. Samuel gets up, he opens the door to the tabernacle, and Eli shows up to Samuel and he says, "So what was the message, Samuel?" And you know Samuel is just squirming like, how can I tell you what God just told me? How can I tell you what God just told me? Look in verse 15. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I bet. The words of God, you're going to have to wrestle with the words of God. Maybe you've heard something this morning already. You're just going to have to wrestle with it. Everybody has to wrestle with the words of God. And you know why that is? Because when we meet God through his words, we find out we're going in the wrong direction. We find out our lives are contrary to what he said. Eli says, what did the Lord tell you? Verse 17, he said, "What is the thing the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Wow. All right, Samuel, tell me what the Lord told you. Tell me what we're supposed to know here. And Samuel, I imagine his stomach drops out, and he just takes a deep breath. And he says, "All right, this is what the Lord told me." Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." Wow. So Samuel says, this is what the Lord told me. He's done with your family. And your family's going to die off. Your boys are going to die in a day. And God's done with your family. And you know what Eli says? I imagine his poor health, his blindness. He's just like, what do I do? What a terrible position to be in. You get that message, and just like, what do I do? Well, let the Lord do what he's going to do. So Samuel is faithful with the words of God. Here's the message. Here's the lesson in that. No matter how you feel, don't change the message. No matter how you feel, don't change the message. I imagine Samuel stayed up all night struggling with what God said. And there are probably some of you here who have heard things, heard the Bible preached, and struggled all night with some things. You may have struggled days with things, maybe months. I know there's things I've struggled with for months. Just trying to let the words of God work in my life. And it was just a struggle. Just a fight. It was just a back and forth. Imagine Samuel stays up all night struggling with what God said. He's afraid to carry the message. I bet that sounds kind of familiar. Given a message and you're afraid to carry it. Here, take this to the world. You're saved. Take this to the world. Tell the world how to receive the righteousness of God. And you get out in the world and you kind of, I don't really want to talk about that right now. Scary. Here's the point. Just like Samuel, no matter how you feel about the message, be faithful to the message. Samuel's faithful with what God said in verse 18. He tells Eli what's going to happen. And you know what God does? This is the first time the Lord's talked to Samuel. You know what God does? He looks down on that little boy and he says, "Now there's somebody I can trust with my message. There's somebody I can give more to. There's somebody I can trust with my words." Verse 19, look at it. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. There you go. That's a blessing. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Wow. That's a faithful kid. And all Israel, now here's what happens in the light of the nation in regards to Samuel, even from his early childhood, verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So you know what the Lord does? He found somebody faithful, and he said, since you've been faithful in this little thing, I can give you some more. Here's some more. And he gives them some more. He's going to give them some more messages to give to Israel, and they're hard messages. And he gives them some more messages. And he found somebody that was faithful with his words. Because you know what? That's the connection to God. The words of God, they're precious. The words of the Lord are precious. Revelation is absolutely necessary. And the Lord has found somebody who is going to take his words and faithfully preach his words to the people. Faithful with the word of the Lord is a blessing to the Lord, and the Lord's going to promote Samuel in the eyes of the nation. He's a prophet. Because of Samuel's relationship to the words of God, God's with him. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I know I've said it before, but what he says there, Samuel grew in verse 18 and the Lord was with him. We've talked about it before, but it's worth repeating. It's one thing to go through trouble and not know whether God's in it or not. You don't know where God is. It's another thing to go through trouble and you know God's directly in the middle of it. If you go through trouble with the Lord, that's one thing. You go through trouble without the Lord, I think about it all the time. I mean, when do funerals and all kinds of situations in life. But I can't imagine, I don't imagine how some people go through tragedy in their life without the Lord. I know how they lose the things they lose and the people they lose without the Lord. And some don't. Some lose people and that was their life. And they decide, you know what, life's just not worth living anymore. It's one thing to go through tragedy without the Lord. What a miserable, miserable way of going through things. But it's another thing when you go through tragedy and you know the Lord's in it. Or the Lord's with you in it. There's hope in it. There's comfort in it. There's at least some blessings, some benefits that come along with the tragedy. And every tragedy is met with an equal blessing and an equal comfort. Grace, mercy, things like that. Bible says Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. The Lord's with him because he's faithful to the words of God. The words of God are precious. The words of God are the basis for a relationship with God. Samuel's faithful with the words of God. The first message he has is unfortunately a negative message, but he deals with his emotions about it and is faithful. He preaches it to Eli, and the Lord looks down on little Samuel and he says, now there's somebody I can trust. I couldn't trust Eli. I couldn't trust Eli's kids, but I can trust you, Samuel. So the last verse, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I don't know if the Lord had appeared in Shiloh. It had maybe been years since he had appeared with Eli. But now his relationship to the word of God is everything. It is his success. It is his promotion. It is his blessing. It is everything. Now here's the simple encouragement I have for you with all this, if you hadn't already got something out of this. You and I have an obligation, and more than that, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord through his words. And there are all kinds of blessings in the words of God. And your relationship with the words of God is going to be determined, or it will determine what God's going to be able to do with you. Just like Samuel. Samuel's faithful. God uses him. God's with him. God blesses him. I imagine he has hope that other people don't have. He has encouragement that other people don't have. He goes through tragedy that, in a way that other people don't go through it. Why? Because the words of God are with him, and the Lord's with him through those words. You and I have an opportunity. We got the words of God. We got an opportunity to have a good relationship with God through his words. You got an opportunity to preach his words. You got an opportunity to minister his words to other people. You got an opportunity to have hope where other people don't have hope. And not to downplay or whatever. I hope everybody gets hope in the words of God. That's what you want. You want people to be comforted by these words. You want people to be blessed by these words. Because this is the source of blessing. This is the source of comfort. This is the source of hope. And this chapter really lays out very well the importance of the words of God and Samuel's relationship to those words and how that affected his life and how that affected God's relationship with Samuel. So he's faithful with the word of the Lord, and it's a blessing to the Lord, and the Lord appears again to Samuel, and he's going to start giving him some more things to preach. He's going to start giving him comfort. He's going to give him all the things that come along with the words of God. So let's make the words of God important in our lives. I encourage you to. I mean, it's a simple thing, a simple message. Drive around, I don't know, work, maybe listen to the Bible or listen to preaching or spend some quiet time with the words of God. That there are so many things. You know, we have a list. I'm sure you have a list for this week. I got to get this done. 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 Yeah, you probably got to get a lot of those things done. You know what you really got to get done? You got to spend some time with the Word. You got to spend some time with the Lord. Because all this other stuff, without light, it's just a bunch of stuff. All this other activity in darkness, without light, it's just activity. You and I need light, and this is the source of it. And how we treat this light is whether we walk in light or walk in darkness. Samuel walks in light. He's blessed for it. He's promoted as a prophet. I mean, he is a prophet. He's just faithful with the words of God. I encourage you this week, even starting today, make the words of God important. Make them more important than they were yesterday. Make them more. Think about the activities in your life, and just think about the activities in your life. If they're all done in darkness, it's just more activity and busyness. Get some light in there. Let's get some light in there. Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano. Just have a little time of reflection, invitation, not too long, but simple message. Words of God, absolutely necessary in our lives. Let's magnify them in our lives more than we did last week. Make them more important than they were. Sam plays, you can bow your heads, close your eyes, and we'll just have a little time of reflection.